Welcome to People to People, soon to be Basic Gospel. We are here every day at this time to bring the Basic Gospel into your life, relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And our purpose each day, of course, is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. Right now, it's time for your calls. If you have something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question, or some particular issue, that number 1-800-677-9377, and the lines are wide open right now. Again, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our question for the day really relates to the death of Christ. This basic gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we want to know today from our listeners, what does Christ's death mean to you? And in what ways is his finished work making a difference in your life today? It was a historical event, happened some 2,000 years ago, but it has everlasting impact. And so we get to feel that impact right now. So in what ways are you feeling the impact of Christ's death in your daily life? Weigh in on those questions today, 1-800-677-9377. We had a great discussion about our question of the day yesterday. Mm-hmm. We hope as many people will join in on today's broadcast as well. So what does Christ's death mean to you?
1-800-677-9377. The lines are yours right now. Call, friends.
Thank you. We're going to go to New York and talk to Mary. Is that correct?
Yes. Hello, and thank you very much for taking my call.
You are more than welcome. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you so much. I'm calling concerning when you talk about Jesus and his death and what it meant. I'm very concerned about the mismanagement and the mishandling of the Word of God and the sacredness of the Scriptures. And I'm talking about during the last segment about the gentleman speaking about bringing a friend to church, and the friend didn't know much, but the friend, I guess, loved the music and the different things and wanted to have communion. And the Scriptures clearly say in 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 24, Jesus saying, "This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So even though maybe one of the ushers took the communion from the gentleman, the usher was correct in that if the gentleman had not received Christ as his Savior, I don't know if an altar call went out before or not. However, if he had not received Christ as his Savior, repented of his sins, and confessed that, then how would he be able to be put in remembrance of the person he had not received? So that, I mean, according to the Scriptures, It just didn't make sense. But what I think
Well, Marie, we appreciate your passion on this, and you know, I hope that you heard what I was saying as far as the communion is concerned. It's a celebration for believers for what Christ has accomplished. That's what we as believers.
I know he wasn't
a believer, and that's why I said that the pastor, if it's done correctly, it could become a very evangelistic outreach as we as believers participate in it, and those within congregations and within every single church service across America. I don't care what church it is, you're going to find believers and unbelievers alike sitting in those pews. And so these celebrations that we participate in can be a wonderful opportunity to evangelize those who are lost and open up those tables.
You have to evangelize them first.
Well, that's what I said, Marie. There's no need. We agree on that. So there's no need to think that we disagree. We certainly agree on that. And I appreciate your call. I mean, churches have all kinds of policies concerning the Lord's Supper. And, you know, you're going to find all kinds of differences there. But, boy, it is a wonderful celebration if we will just recognize it for what it is. We've said time and time again, as far as the death of Christ is concerned, the way most churches participate in the Lord's Supper is so far away from what Christ accomplished that we do damage to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Yes, we do.
Here is the message of the cross. It is finished. And in this new covenant, which the blood represents, this is the blood of the new covenant. In this new covenant, God remembers our sins no more. Yet what do we do at those quote celebrations? Man, we bring up, we dredge up every sin, and we get all down and dark, and, oh, Lord, please, please. Mm-hmm. And the message of this celebration is this: it is finished. So we're not allowing this cross of Jesus Christ to have meaning in our experience today. We just look at it as an event, but we still have to do all these certain things to really show God that we're, you know, serious about,
yeah,
about this stuff.
Lord.
Well, God showed that he was serious about sin, so serious that he sent Jesus to die in our place. He's done it all. We need to rejoice with that fact. So what does Christ's death mean to you as it relates to communion, as it relates to your daily life? Maybe you've been through something in life. I know probably out there are listeners who have gone through a divorce and are feeling guilty. There's a weight on their shoulders because they've been through that, and they don't know how to be set free. Well, the cross of Christ has an answer. There may be something that, you know, a sin that you keep going back to and back to and back to, and you're like, here I am, Lord, here I am again. Oh, my goodness, what are you going to do with me? And the cross of Christ has an answer. If you're in one of those situations, call, weigh in on today's broadcast, 1-800-677-9377. Also, we want to remind our listeners, we have a wonderful offer this month, the Basic Gospel Journey. If you really want to know how the cross of Christ applies in your life and the destination that it leads you to, this life of freedom and joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, this particular message will help you see the path that God has laid out through the work of Christ Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's available for a gift of any amount.
Mm-hmm. Yours for a gift of any amount when you visit realanswers.net. Just click the link on the homepage or call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with Billy, and we'll be glad to get one on the way to you. Again, that's realanswers.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. That, of course, is our order line number, 1-800-727-2828, and Billy awaits your call. We'd love to get a copy of The Basic Gospel Journey into your hands as well. Well, again, open lines and a different phone number, 1-800-677-9377, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Of course, we're here every day to address your questions and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution.
Well, thanks. Let's go to Brad listening to us on the Internet today. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing? I'm calling from Justin, Florida.
Oh, we're sorry to hear about that.
But anyway, I love the question, and it's a question that everybody needs to get answered. But resurrection life is the key that I've come to realize about why I live and who I live in. And I really do appreciate the fact of the resurrection life. It's the key to everything. Once I learned the full gospel message, which included the death, burial, and resurrection, everything opens up and turns around when you can view it from God's eyes as to what resurrection life means.
Well, that is the good news, that Jesus Christ is alive, and because he's alive, he makes us alive when we come to him by faith. But oftentimes we don't experience that resurrection life, and the reason we don't experience it is because we have never finalized the cross. We don't know what the cross means to us.
Absolutely.
And that's the key that I think that really unlocks the grace of God in a believer's life and enables us to truly experience the power of his resurrection here and now. And that's when Christianity becomes a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and that's what's so wonderful about Basic Gospel, you know, formerly People to People, is that message has been so consistent in my life that it's allowed me in Christ to grow in grace and really understand what growing in grace is, which is the beautiful part about having life in Christ.
Yes, indeed.
And growing in Him and growing in the knowledge of Him, you know, and it fulfills John 17:3. To know Him is eternal life, and that's the beautiful part about resurrection life, and I'll let y'all go.
Thanks, Brad. Enjoy Destin, and thanks for the call today. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to Kathy in Fremont, California. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Welcome to the program. How can we help you today?
Actually, my daughter has a friend. There's a group of four girls. They're young adults. They've been raised in the church and just very, very close friends. And one of the friends has gotten involved in a recurrent sin or repetitive sin where she keeps going back to it and then, you know, kind of what you were talking about. And her three best friends are really struggling and trying to help her, and they're trying to decide if they should have an intervention. And I heard you talking, and I thought, well, maybe there would be some insight that I could share with them.
Well, here's the deal, Kathy. We're all housed in a body of flesh. Flesh
right.
has sin in it. And once the flesh has been satisfied in a certain way, the flesh is always going to cry out to be satisfied in that same way, time and time and time again. And it doesn't matter how long a time span is between one occurrence and the next occurrence. Flesh is still the flesh. And so a lot of times we try, as far as recurring sin is concerned, is to change the nature of the flesh. Well, we can't change the nature of flesh. Flesh is flesh. So if flesh likes chocolate ice cream, 100 years from now, that flesh is still going to like chocolate ice cream.
Right.
You can go on the best diet in the world, but when chocolate ice cream is put in front of your nose, guess what? You're gonna want that ice cream. So the way to help this particular person is to give them that truth. And the way out isn't to try to clean up the flesh. The way out is to give way to the Spirit's control in a person's life. As Paul wrote in Galatians 5, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So that tells us a couple of things. One, there's victory that's available to us. It comes through walking in the Spirit, abiding in the Spirit, abiding in the love of God. And second, we learn in this that the desires of the flesh never go away. They can just go unfulfilled, but they never go away. So when we realize that, that gives us a chance to say, oh, okay, I get that. Now I'm going to look to Jesus. I'm not going to look at my flesh and try to do everything in my power to clean it up. I know I can't do that. I'm going to look to Jesus and allow His Spirit to do His work in and through me. And in so doing, I won't gratify those desires.
Okay, so when that sinful desire comes up, then you recognize it consciously and say, you know, Christ, crucify this desire?
I think at that point you run. You know, if temptation's in front of you, you turn and run. I think that's the most spiritual thing that you can do. Flee sexual immorality. Flee those temptations. Because if you recognize the nature of the flesh, you understand that's the wisest advice that you could possibly hear and apply, is to turn and run. And when you do, you're taking yourself out of that situation, and then you can objectively hear what Christ has for you at that particular point. Here's what I want to do. I've got a book called Love Is. We talk about that a little bit. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send it to you, and maybe you can pass that on to your daughter's friend, okay?
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Kathy. Thanks for your call today. Wonderful question.
Yes, indeed. Love is, of course, available from realanswers.net. Just go online to realanswers.net, and you'll find it right there on the homepage.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Jacob. Hi, Jacob.
How are you guys doing this evening?
Doing well, thanks.
All right. I have a question. I see something going on in many of the churches today is people getting divorced and remarried. And one of the things that I have a problem with is the scripture says, if a man puts his wife away for reason of fornication, if someone else marries her, they're committing adultery. And I see that in a lot of churches today. Someone to get divorced for the cause of fornication, and then they just go get remarried again. And they're committing adultery, and so is the person who marries them.
Well, Jacob, that's what the Word of God has to say. And, you know, divorce is not God's intention. His encouragement, his leading with anyone who is married, especially children of God, is to remain married. Jesus, you know, I think called the Pharisees on the rug and said, listen, you guys are following, you know, the Mosaic law that says, you know, you can issue a writ of divorce. But I'm telling you, even though you're following the letter of the law, you're violating the spirit. Because the reason you're divorcing is for adulterous reasons. You're interested in dumping this one and getting someone else. That's just adultery, no matter how you slice it. So Jesus was talking about that. But I think as far as we're concerned as believers in Christ, we need to look at marriage from a different viewpoint, not just based on what the law has to say to us, but based on what the love of God has to say to us. That in any given situation, the love of God can break through and move us together as husband and wife instead of tearing us apart. So if we will allow God's love to have its work in our lives, we can see some wonderful things take place. So,
And when Jesus went back, I mean, he went all the way back to the beginning. He said, in the beginning it was not so. It was one man, one woman, and for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and become one with his wife.
So here's two things that people need to know.
I think the reason he went back to that was he said God set the precedent.
Yeah, he did. But here's two things that you need to know, Jacob. There's a lot of people in this world that are divorced, and they're feeling guilty over that. The gospel message has a word for them, and the message is the message of reconciliation, that God is not counting that sin against them. That is the good news of the gospel. So we as believers need to be very plain with what we bring to the table. God is offering grace. Law has already condemned. The law has already judged. Where people are feeling guilty, they need a good word from the Lord, and that good word is that God is not counting their sins against you. For those who are married and are struggling with whether to remain in it, let the love of God do its work in your life. You'll see some wonderful things take place. You'll see God pull things together in ways that you can never dream or imagine. So those are the things that I think we need to know on that. So, Jacob, thanks for your call.
One more thing. Hello?
Go ahead. Quickly.
Oh, yeah. Today, with these people remarried after they committed fornication in the churches, don't you think it's the pastor's role to tell them they shouldn't even be remarried? And if they are remarried,
well, what are they going to tell them to do? You need to go divorce and get back with your other, with your first mate? I mean, that just compounds the problem.
If they're
remarried,
they're committing adultery if they don't. They're committing, both of them are committing adultery if they don't, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you continue in adultery.
Jacob, you don't believe the gospel message, if that's what you're saying. The gospel message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you say someone can't inherit the kingdom of God because they're committing adultery, you're saying adultery is the unpardonable sin. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. The only sin that is unpardonable is the rejection of Christ Jesus. And we need to be very clear on that. And Jacob, you need to go back and understand what this gospel message is. It is death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's his story. He sends a message out to those folks saying, I don't count that sin against you, and I'm offering you life everlasting. Let's get a hold of this gospel message. It will answer a lot of these questions that we have, and it won't make us sound ridiculous when we're telling people what to say and what to do in these situations. You know, God isn't going to tell somebody who's gotten remarried, oh, you need to divorce this one. Well, why would he tell somebody to divorce this person, you know, when he hates divorce? Yeah. He's going to say to this person, hey, okay, you've had all this in your past. Now you're married. Let's make this the best marriage it can be.
Yeah. And let's, what love says.
That's exactly what love says. Well, let's go to Jane in Wilmington, North Carolina, listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help you today?
I wanted to know if your ministry includes anything where people can come to just have shelter and love for a tiny bit. I believe in Jesus. And I've been limping my car for about 3 weeks, which is something I've never done. But I just want to be under the umbrella of people that, you know, love Jesus.
Well, you're in Wilmington, North Carolina right now?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, Jesus loves you. And
I know.
Jesus is
love
promised.
Love is a verb.
That's exactly right. And Jesus has promised to meet your needs. Now, what we can do, we're out in Texas, but what we can do is this. Let me put you on hold. Let me get as much information as we possibly can. And then let's see if we can connect with somebody there in the Wilmington area that can be of help to you. And for our listeners who are tuned in, please be praying for Jane right now that some doors will open, that she will find the protection, the shelter that she needs right now. So, Jane, let me put you on hold.
The love for the church. You know, just the love from the church, like Jesus does.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can activate.
I
some
love Jesus so much.
Yeah.
And I know he loves me. I got saved in 2005, and this is something that normally would never happen to me, but I just happened to be in this situation.
Yeah.
And I've called about 25 churches.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can. Let's see if we can get involved and help out, Jane. So you hold on. We'll get all your information. We'll see what the Lord stirs up in this, okay?
Okay. Hey, well, the main thing is that I love Jesus. I know absolutely he loves me.
Okay. You hang on.
Well, she's in a tough spot.
She is in a tough spot, and a lot of people are in a tough spot, and they're looking for tangible evidence that God cares, that God is interested. Sometimes we get in those situations, and we just scratch our heads and think, God, do you even care? Do God's people even care? And that even makes the situation worse. But I can guarantee you this, that God does care. He cares so much that he sent Jesus. That's a tangible expression of his love for us here and now.
Yeah.
It's a verb. Love is a verb, as she was saying. And it does mean action, reaching out to people and meeting their needs as God has met ours. So we'll trust and pray that God will open up some doors in Jane's life.
Absolutely. Well, friends and people to people, we're excited to impact lives journeying together in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been confused about the direction of your life, the truth in this message called The Basic Gospel Journey will give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's a CD message we call, as I said, The Basic Gospel Journey, and you can begin yours by requesting your copy. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit realanswers.net. Just click the link on the homepage at realanswers.net or call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with Billy. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us at the same time tomorrow for another edition of People to People, soon to be Basic Gospel.